Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well this morning. I think being in the Lord's house makes it a little bit better. So I'm excited to be here this morning, excited to get to share the word that God shared with me. And full disclosure, though, my toes is sore because this message is kind of stepped on this preacher's toes all week. I don't know if the message was meant for y'all or me, but irregardless, it's helped me this week. So, but before we do that, I got a young man that said he wanted to do something for God this morning. So, Jesse, if you'll make your way up. Brother, can you give me this mic right here? So, I like to see young folks do something for the Lord, right? But I asked Jesse, I don't know, maybe the last time I preached, if he wanted to sing or do something, and he did. And this morning, he wants to sing Amazing Grace, just the first verse. Is this mic? Yep, it's hot. So, we don't need no piano, because, well, you know, he don't come from a musically inclined family. I just make a joyful noise to the Lord. And if we had good, fine piano playing, we couldn't follow along with it just right anyway. So, but Jesse, fortunately, sings way better than his daddy. So, y'all open your ears for a little Amazing Grace this morning. Go ahead, buddy.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Look, I'm thankful for young folks who are willing to serve and do. And look, all God wants is our willingness. And we, you know, the thing about Him is He didn't choose the most talented folks. He didn't choose the best looking folks. Thank the Lord for that. He didn't choose the most in shape folks. Look, He didn't even choose folks that could speak very well sometimes. But I'm thankful for God using each and every one of us in our own certain way. But I'm thankful for young folks willing to do something for God. If y'all will get your Bibles out, go to Matthew. We'll start Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and we'll look at some familiar scripture. In fact, we just heard a reference to this one scripture, and we're going to start with three or four scriptures this morning and then get into our message. We just heard a little bit about a challenge of a great commission from our pastor here recently. That was one thing on my mind. But as we get into reading a few verses here, y'all just keep your seat. Be comfortable, open your ears, and listen to what God has for us this morning. But Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world." So I think it's real clear that through those verses that we are challenged to go out and win souls for Christ. Amen. That we're challenged to teach people about Christ, to disciple people about Christ, baptizing them, it says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you know, the blessed thing about that verse is we're not doing it alone. It says, go out to the ends of the world. Go out to the end of your driveway or your neighborhood or your cul-de-sac or your city or your state or your country or another continent. And it says that God is with us always to the end. And look, I can speak for myself. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stand here this morning without God Almighty, without Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit within me. But thankfully, we don't have to do this thing alone. And I'm challenged by those verses personally. And I think we should stay focused on why are we here in this world today? Why do we have another day to live? Why does God allow us to stay here? What is our purpose of being here? Challenging thoughts there. So Matthew, a few verses back, I want to point out a couple of scriptures. If you'll flip back to chapter 22, beginning in verse 36 of chapter 22 in the book of Matthew, Matthew 22:36, it says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So, if we love God, the Bible says, if we're one of His, we'll keep His commandments, right? So if we love God above all things in our life, did it say to put anything ahead of God? Did it say to put your family ahead of God? Did it say put your work ahead of God? Did it say fishing or hunting? Oh, Lord, my toe right there. You know, did it say to put anything ahead of God? No. We're to love the Lord thy God with all our hearts, all our minds devoted to God. You know, so often I think we lose focus on why we're here and what God expects of us. So often I think we just get off course. So often I think that we're consumed with other things in this world. 1 Corinthians 15:58, you can turn with me or I can read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, I love this verse. I don't always apply it to my life as I should. I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I'm not as steadfast. Sometimes I'm not as unmovable. Sometimes I'm not always abounding as I should. You know, if you do a word study on that word abounding, it's got a plethora of connotations and meanings, and it talks about excelling in a high-quality way. It talks about, you know, abundance being the root form of it. A great, plentiful multitude with leftovers kind of thought process. And, you know, when I was reading that verse, thinking on today, I said, you know, the verse about the fields being white unto the harvest, I was thinking about abounding and how it applies to that. I was thinking about heaping wagon loads of lost folks that needs to be led to God. I was thinking about how if we are focused on the commission God has laid for us and we love Him and we're steadfast and we're unmovable and always abounding, meaning doing a high quality work for God in excess, in abundance, I pictured heaping loads of folks being in this church house, being saved, being led to Christ, being taught, being discipled, being baptized, and then also beginning to do the same thing and becoming focused on doing God's work. Listen, I'll be the first to admit there is so many dangling trinkets in this world that gets our focus and attention. At every moment, there's an electronic device. There's a television program. There's everything flickering in front of our eyes today to get our focus and attention. And I think, look, the Bible says the devil is a liar and a thief. And don't think for a minute he don't love to steal your time and attention. So, those verses have resonated with me throughout this week. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Man, you know, oftentimes we'll read a verse, we'll memorize a verse, we'll know a verse, but do we think, ponder, reflect, study, and apply it to our lives? Just those simple few words I just spoke. So, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Look, if you're doing just those simple few words right there in your life and applying it to your life, guess what? It's always going to be abounding. Guess what? You'll be steadfast. You'll be unmovable. And I promise if you're prayed up, you're going to be studied up. And you're going to be able to go out and win souls for Christ like no one has ever done. But just, you know, sometimes we read God's Word and it's in our eyes, out our mouth, and not resonating within our soul. It's not applied to our lives. And look, make no mistake, I have been so challenged personally this week. My toes are so sore, I got Band-Aids on them. The Lord has whooped me all week long, and I believe those first three verses is where all my whooping has come from. But, you know, God has a purpose for each person sitting here under my voice today. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. He created you. He breathed life into you. He allowed you to get up this morning, be physically to be here. He's got a purpose for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. What is that purpose? And what should our focus be? So, don't take your eyes off of Jesus is what I would say. You know, our society, I think, abducts our focus, abducts our attention, directs it in less meaningful things than Christianity and God. And the title to my message today is Don't Lose Focus. Don't lose focus. Let me pause for just a moment. God, I pray that you bless the reading of your word this morning, Father. I pray, God, that it find a lodging within our hearts, within our souls, within our minds. But most importantly, God, I pray that it find a place, Lord, in our lives. Lord, that our feet could put souls to ground in regards to being focused about your work, your business, on this earth, your ministry. Father, I pray, God, that we could be focused on what our part is. Lord, that we could be focused on what you would have us to do in our lives. God, I pray that you would illuminate these verses for us today. I pray that you would enlighten us, Father, what you'd have for us. God, I thank you for them for my life. I thank you for the things that you and I dealt with this week while I was on bended knee before an almighty God. Lord, I thank you for those things in my life that you solved this week. I pray, God, that there be one here, Father, that receives a blessing, receives a charge, receives, Lord, an encouragement or a challenge in their life they stand in need of. But most of all, God, I pray through this message, through your word, that souls would be saved today, tomorrow, this week, next week, next month, next year, throughout time, Father. I pray that you would increase your church, your congregation here, your church body across the world, and most importantly, the names in the Lamb's Book of Life, Father. I pray they just be increased daily, Father. Help us today, Lord, that everything said would honor and glorify Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the challenge was great for me this week. This message hit my life. But thinking about what we focus on, thinking about what robs our attention, you know, so many times we think our workplace is consuming us, or we get consumed with our workplace, whether it's overtime, whether it's difficult time, whether it's working on the weekends, working at nights, working whatever. So many of us get consumed with our workplace. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing you'll do in your workplace that has eternal value other than doing the work of God in the souls of others. You know, so many times our workplace is a place of ministry as well. Many, many times I've been on bended knee in the workplace leading others to Christ. Right on the job. Now, I know that's frowned upon in some workplaces, but I promise there's a break time or a time in which you can do those things. And if you're living a life that is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, sometimes you don't even have to speak Christ or to share the gospel with people. The walk that you walk each and every day preaches to the hearts of those around you. And I just challenge you to stay focused why we're in this world, why we're in this life. Young folks in school, oftentimes those final exams, those tests, we lose focus and attention on what are we here for in this world. You know, school weighs heavy on teachers, on students, on everybody. You know, what draws your gaze and attention? You know, the Bible says that a humble man draws the gaze of God. Look, God's attention is focused on us. It says in that first verse that we shared that He goes with us all the way to the end. His attention is on us, and our attention should be on Him. Don't lose focus. Look, I see, you know, sports are great. I love sports. Look, I've taught Jesse how to throw a baseball, catch a baseball, shoot a basketball, throw a football, lift a weight, all those things. But please don't let sports take the attention of your children from God. Please don't let it take the attention of you as a parent from God. Look, teach them those things and enjoy them. God created them for them to be enjoyed, but don't put them first. So many times I drive by this ball field right down here in Snow Hill and see kids playing on Sundays. And I'm thinking, you know, that's just, it weighs heavy on my heart. You know, I made the statement in front of folks and my wife that I said, Lord, please help me to always keep Jesse focused on God more than sports. And look, don't get me wrong. I love sports. I love playing them growing up. I love, you know, it's an enjoyable thing. But please don't make that your focus in life. Understand that the devil will rob your attention, will rob your focus. And look, if he can get your eyes pointed at something other than Jesus, he's won the battle in your life. Put on the armor of God. Be steadfast, be unmovable, and always abounding with His work. And I promise, look, if you watch the TV enough, it will get your attention off of God. It doesn't matter if it's the news channel or the movie channel or the sitcom channel. It'll get your attention off of God at times. Look, and I don't know about y'all, but I can watch an episode of news and my blood pressure elevate 25 points and I'm frustrated. I'm ready to go chop wood and chew nails and I get frustrated. But let me tell you something. There's a supreme ruler of this world. There's nothing done here today that's not God's will. He appoints leaders. Look, if there's wars, it's because He allowed them to be. There's frustrating things all around us in our government, in our elections, in our society, in our world. There's wars. There's geopolitical threats everywhere. But God said, fear not. We need to focus on Him. And I promise we don't need to be short-sighted. Look, it's not about 2- and 4-year elections. It's about eternity. Don't be short-sighted. Look, as Christians, don't get me wrong, we should be patriots. We should love our countries. I think God founded this country on Christian principles. But don't lose focus on what's important. What's important is souls in heaven for eternity. Local elections, state elections, federal elections, yes. As Christians, we should vote our principles and do our part. But please don't draw your attention away from what's truly important in life. And that's focus on God. There'll be a day in which we never talk about a senatorial election, a presidential election. It'll be nothing in eternity. It won't be a recollection of our minds. It shouldn't be a primary focus today. Keep our attention on God, things of God. And look, although this phone has my little outline on there with a few bullet points, it can be used for a great purpose. You can share the gospel on it. You can put a preaching outline on it. You can do study on it, read the Bible on it. I use it for a lot of great things. But let me tell you something. That can take your focus off of God. It can be used for as much evil as it can be good. And if you spend 6 hours a day on that phone, I promise you're not being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, praying without ceasing. You're not focused on God if you're focused on Facebook. Look, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Sometimes I share a good message. Sometimes I just share family pictures. But don't let it consume you. Don't let it rob you of your focus and time and attention. So many times there's a dangling trinket in front of us. Young folks, look, don't worry so much about Fortnite, but worry about praying at night. Look, I played video games growing up. I enjoyed Mario Brothers, Atari, Fast and Furious. I liked it. Don't let it consume you. Look, many, many years I was a youth pastor, and I one time had one of my students come to me and said, I'm addicted to this game. I stay up till 4 a.m. playing it every day of my life. And he was legitimately asking his youth pastor for advice and prayer to help him overcome his addiction. He said he spent 10 hours a day playing this game. As soon as he come home from school, until he couldn't keep his eyes open, he was addicted to a video game. Let me tell you, the devil had him. He wasn't focused. Don't lose your focus. There's a whole lot of worse things on that phone you can be addicted to. Don't fall in the pitfalls of the devil. He will rob and steal and lie to do anything to get you out of focus on God and on things of God and doing God's work and ministry in this life. The Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the always has been, the always will be, the King of Kings and the one and only true God doesn't just command our attention but deserves our attention. He had the mercy, the grace, to send his son Jesus to shed his precious blood, to be beaten, to be crucified, to be ridiculed for the remission of your sins and mine. He hung his only begotten son on an old rugged cross, and every drop of his blood dripped on Mount Calvary for your sins and mine. Listen, he doesn't just command our attention and focus, he deserves it. He gave you the opportunity of salvation, and I hope everyone in this room has accepted him as their personal Savior. I hope you've had a moment you've been born again, just confessing you're a sinner, believing in Jesus Christ, him crucified, him resurrected, in heaven today, interceding for you and I to the Heavenly Father. He deserves our focus. He deserves our attention. Such mercy and grace has been bestowed upon all humanity. Humanity fell into sin. God made a way to overcome it. Listen, if you've fallen into a time of not being focused, he's made a way to overcome it. Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you serve him today like I'm speaking of? Do you truly worship him? I mean, I don't just mean come to church. Do you understand what truly worship him means? Humble yourself before an almighty God. Thank him for his goodness and mercy and grace. Church, I want to tell you, my toes are sore this week. I spent some time this week right there. How much time do you spend on your knees before an almighty God? Listen, it's not pray and get forgiveness and get salvation and no more. Listen, as believers, an email is what's important. It ain't email. How much time do you truly spend worshiping God? Worshiping God is a personal thing. It's between you and him, and it's about your relationship. Look, it's great being saved, but it's wonderful when you spend a time of worship with God. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes God's whooping on you a little bit. Sometimes Jesse loses focus. Sometimes it's painful for him. I got to whoop on him a little bit. But I promise you, I've never laid a stripe on that boy that it wasn't out of love. Our Heavenly Father's the same way. Sometimes we need moved back on path. Sometimes we need to be chastened. That happens when we worship him, when we pray without ceasing, when we read our Bibles, when we're focused on God. It doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't happen without intention. It doesn't happen without focus. But it requires your attention. It says, always abounding in that scripture we read. Is your life always abounding? Are you reaping the harvest as God would have you to? Is your life a life of excellence, quality in Christ Jesus? Always abounding, plentiful harvest Friend, I can tell you mine's not as it should be. But through God, it can be. If I keep my focus, my attention, where it needs to be, so many things in life I have allowed to rob my personal attention, my focus. Look, God showed me some things in worship this week that I've got to work on. I've already started working on. I just want to challenge you with these things today. You know, He is worthy. I'm so thankful. Look, I'm so thankful to be a child of the King. I mean, it's not many times in life you can say that you're a child of the King. The Bible tells us to be in the world, not of the world, right? You know, when I'm thinking about focus, I had a few things come to mind. Such as, think about Peter when he seen Christ walk on water. Look, he was just chomping at the bit to jump over that rail and try it himself. And when he did, he was doing real, real good until he lost focus. He took his eyes off of Jesus. And what did he do? He sank. Friend, I want to tell you, in your life today, you'll do the same. If you take your eyes off of Jesus and lose focus, you'll sink. You'll sink. Be like a picture of the prodigal son. I mean, on the hilltop one moment and in the hog pen the next. But I want to tell you, there's restoration in Christ. That prodigal son come back. What happened? Put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. Hug his neck. Listen, after I whoop on Jesse, I'm chomping at the bit to get to hug his neck. Love on him. God wants to see us do right because He wants to love on us. If we're focused on Him and doing right, He's going to love on us. Now think about Jesus Christ hugging on your neck spiritually through the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's nothing at this age in life, nothing Jesse would rather do than please his Father. We should be the same way with our Heavenly Father. There's nothing we should want to do more than please our Heavenly Father. For Him to love on us. For Him to look at us with satisfaction, to be pleased, to glorify Him. Listen, do you desire that in your lives today? You know, David took his eyes off of God for a moment and put them on this woman on a rooftop. He sank. Lost focus. A dangling trinket over here got his attention. Listen, the devil will put things in your life, in your line of sight. And it don't even have to be the devil. It can just be walking in this world we live in today. There's things to draw our focus and attention off of Jesus Christ. And what happened with David? Adultery. Murder. All kinds of lies and deception. He fell in that pit. But even when he fell, God said he's a man after my own heart because he desired to have a relationship with him. He still loved him. Had to whoop on him, had to do all kinds of things. He had scars from those sins. All manners of things, and we could preach a whole message on that. But God restored him. There was a relationship there. And I'm thankful that the shepherd left the 99 to run after that one wayward. Got hung up in a briar patch, and I don't know what his briar patch was. I can tell you some about what mine is, but I'm going to keep it between me and God. But let me tell you, everybody in this room has a briar patch they're subject to fall into and get, I mean, locked down in. Have you ever been in a briar patch so thick you had to cut your way out? I've been there and done that in real life, and I mean, I got the scars to prove it. Looking for an old deer, look, my focus was off right there. I was chasing after this deer I'd shot. Had to cut my way out of there. I had bars latched all over me. But listen, life is the same way. You get off the main path, the straight way. And you get on that broad path, it ain't clear sailing. There's bars and pitfalls. There's traps. There's dangling trinkets. There's bass lures all alongside of the road. Listen, there's flat screen TVs 80 inches wide. There's all kinds of things. But I want you to know today, if you're wayward, if you're in that briar patch, if you're in that pitfall, if you've stopped to pick up one of them trinkets along the road, there's a way back. The shepherd is ready to get you today, draw you back to the fold where he can protect you, where he can love on you, where he can take his big stick and whoop whatever comes to get you. Stay in the fold, on the path, and stay focused. Listen, each and every one of us is blessed with another day to live. We have the good fortune of utilizing 24 hours. Every time we're blessed with another week to live, we have the good fortune of having 168 hours. And you know it's up to us how we use it. Do you think about life like that? Like, what am I going to do with this 24 hours? What am I going to do with this week, this 168 hours? What should I be focused on? Listen, I think God wants us to be intentional in our lives. And I think so often we just go through the motions and we're just trying to make it to lunchtime because our belly's growling. I don't know about y'all, but now that's a true story with me, right? But do you focus to that level of detail? And look, there's many of us in here that tithe, that give to the ministry of our treasure. But I think God wants a tithe of your time and talent. I really don't, you know, there's probably smarter Bible scholars in here than me. I ain't got a verse to give you to say that, but I think God wants a portion of the time He's blessed you with, because it says in the Bible we're to tithe on the increase. If He's increased our life by 24 hours, I think He's expecting a tithe of that 24 hours. If He's increased our life by 168 hours, I think He's expecting a tithe of that 168 hours. Look, I'm not a Bible scholar, and I can't point you to 1 Corinthians whatever to say that that's what we ought to do, but I'm telling you today, I think if God blesses us with another day, another week, another month, another year, I think He expects something in return. You know, the Bible does say this, to whom much is given, much is required. If He's given you time, there's a requirement attached to it. That's what I said, Brother Gene. Thank you, Lord. I didn't have a verse till just then. But if He has given you time, I think there is a requirement. To whom much is given, much is required. And you know, you think about 168 hours in just 1 week, what can you do with it? Well, you might work a 40-hour week. Some of you might sleep 8 hours a night. I wished I could. That'd be 56 hours, you know, 40-hour week. Added on that at work, that'd be 96 hours. And I'm geeking out on math, and some of y'all just went glassy-eyed, lost the whole focus of this message today. But anyway, let's just think on what time we have left that we should give to God. Well, I think, you know, we probably got about 70 hours left over time. After we provide for a family, you know, the Bible does say if you don't work, you don't eat. That's why I focus on work a little bit, because I do like to eat now, but it should not take my focus and attention from Christ. I only sleep about half the time normal people sleep, 4 or 5 hours. That's about it. So I don't need that whole 56 to sleep, so I can get some back there. But just think if we got 70 hours a week of leftover time. Do you give a tenth of that? Do you really spend 7 hours a week in church, in worship, with God, for God, praying to God, reading about God, telling others about God? So if He blesses us with 168 hours in a week's time, I've got a personal conviction about 7 of them now. And that's a small conviction, ain't it? That's an hour a day. He's blessed you with 24 a day. Think about that. You know, I think God requires our focus. I think He deserves our focus. And I think it should be that we give Him the focus that He is due. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, here in Philippians 4, 8 and 9, just beyond that, it says, "Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." What should we be focused on? It said, think on these things. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard." Listen, we need to be focused on what we've learned, what we've received, what we've heard. And then the Bible is clear. If we think on these things, which ye have learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What should our focus be in life today? As the pianist makes her way up here, what should our focus be in life today? I think we need to think on the goodness of God. We need to think on the commandments of God. We need to fulfill those commandments. We need to tell others about Christ. We need to fill our minds with all those good things, those things of virtue, those true things, those honorable things, those justifiable things, those good things that Christ has done for us, those good things that we've seen Him do in others' lives. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to always be abounding. We need to give a tithe of our time, talent, and we need to stay focused on what our mission is. When we're blessed with 24 hours, 168 hours, when we're blessed with another month of life, another year of life, God deserves a portion of that for His service. He's worthy. As we stand today, if any of this has challenged you, as the pianist is playing, hey, make your way to this altar just as I did this week. I had to get some things right in my life. I had to ask God to help me, to strengthen me, to help me not lose focus, not lose attention, to help me be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. You know, when I think about that thing, always abounding, are you doing wonderful, great, abundant things for God each and every day of your life? If you're not, ask God to help you do those things. He expects it out of us. He requires it. And friend, I want to tell you, He deserves it. Are you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord today? Friend, He wants a relationship with you like He's like one that you can only imagine through Jesus Christ and His Spirit. He wants to love on us, have His arms around us, shelter us, bring us into the fold, protect us with a big whooping stick. Do you feel like you've got that protection today? Or are you stuck in a briar patch, in a pitfall, in the miry clay? Maybe you've fallen into sin. That's okay. Other people in the Bible did. Guess what? We're human. Christ has forgiveness for you, even after salvation. But especially prior to. You might be here today, never accepted Christ as your Savior. I pray that you make a path down this aisle today. Look at me and ask me to pray with you. I'll show you what the Bible has for you. How you can be saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and applied to your life. Receive forgiveness for your sins. This song says, I surrender all. Have you done that today? Believer, have you surrendered all? Are you praying without cease and always abounding? Friend, I want to challenge every one of y'all this week. I want to challenge you to not lose focus. Keep your attention on God Almighty. For He is worthy. Thank y'all for being here today.